Thanks very much, and it really is a great pleasure to be here, and thank you, Jason, for your warm welcome. I too would like to begin my remarks by paying my respects to the Gadigal peoples of the Eora Nation, and I do particularly want to thank Alan Madden for his very warm welcome. Of course, just as importantly today, I want to recognise the Stolen Generation survivors who are here with us, especially those who have contributed to this book that we're launching today, Us Taken Away Kids. So to all of you who've contributed, give yourselves a big round of applause. I do also want to recognise Mark Bimbarka and Alec Kruger, two men who were honoured at the Human Rights Awards yesterday, and thank you very much. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear a little of your story, and I certainly hope to be able to read the rest. To Tom Carmer, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Justice Commissioner, thank you so much, Tom, for asking me here today. Mick Dodson and, of course, Jason, it's great to have you all joining us. As I'm sure you're all aware, our new Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, has indicated that he intends to apologise to the Stolen Generations to acknowledge our past. Very importantly, he has committed to framing this apology, both the language and the nature of the apology, in a consultative and respectful way. So today, I'm formally beginning that process by meeting with representatives from the National Sorry Day Committee and the Stolen Generations Alliance, with Professor Mick Dodson and Tom Carmer, and at the same time as meeting with those people today, taking advice from them about other people that we need to speak to before we take this issue forward. Because what we want to do is stand together with you and pledge a new relationship that is steady and based primarily on respect. There are, of course, many, many sources of strength and commonality between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders and other Australians. Our love for the land, our shared desire to live happily and fulfilled family lives. And during this process of making an apology, we need to draw on those shared strengths to address the wrongs of the past, to acknowledge the devastating impact of the forcible removal of Indigenous children on the basis of race, and the impact of that on the lives of so many Indigenous families. We have to try to understand the heartache and to listen, to hear what needs to be done to build for the future. I hope it is the case that we're at a juncture where healing is possible, and I hope that we can build a consensus about the way forward. So many Australians from so many different walks of life want to be part of this path to reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. Young people, elderly people, those of us who are in between, leaders in business and the community, in the cities, in our little country towns, and of course way out in remote parts of Australia. We all, I think, see the purpose of saying sorry as building a bridge, establishing respect so that together we can move forward. Fundamentally, this is a personal thing, I just think it's the right thing to do. To give force to the apology, the new Australian government intends to implement a national plan to close the life expectancy gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians over the next generation. Like those of you who've been pressing for this commitment, Tom Palmer, a leading light in that regard, we know that this is going to take concerted action over a long period of time. We intend to begin with the Indigenous children being born today, to say to them that they should have the same life chances as every other Australian child. So our focus will be on very early education and health. We'll start with making sure that all of those children and their parents, first of all the mothers, get comprehensive child and maternal health services, that the parents get the support that they need, that we deliver universal preschool for every single four-year-old. You know, I think it's good for To that we know there are many, many other issues in health and education, and I won't go through them today. We have a broader purpose with today's celebration, with the launch of this document. The reason we've done set this generational target, I think, is very important. But what we've also done is set interim targets to halve the infant mortality and literacy and numeracy gaps within a decade. We do think, both the new Prime Minister and myself, think that it is very important to set targets so that everyone can be held accountable to make sure that we achieve what we set out to do. Of course, for children to benefit from these improved health and education services, they have to be safe. Unfortunately, there is yet more horrific evidence today that too many Indigenous children are not safe, that they are being abused, and I don't think that these issues can go unmentioned on such an important occasion. As you know, there is a very, very clear difference between children being removed on the basis of their race and children being removed for their own safety and protection. The revelations from Queensland in recent days are yet another shocking reminder of the child abuse taking place. I just want to say that, like the Queensland Premier, Anna Bligh, who I spoke with this morning, and the Indigenous women of Queensland who've spoken out again today, including Bonnie Robertson, I believe that child safety is paramount and that child victims of violence deserve the full protection of the law. There is no question that in this case, the child protection system and the court failed the little girl in question. What we intend to do is work together as vigorously as possible with our state and territory colleagues and communities to do everything we can to protect children from abuse and neglect and to build a safe culture within communities. Because I just want to say again, strong action is needed to protect children, and that has to be our paramount concern. While doing that, we also have to recognise the importance of what you've been through, what so many of you have survived. And if I can particularly acknowledge the extraordinary resilience of those of you who've been removed as part of the Stolen Generations. I am really delighted to be here with you today at a very personal level. I'm delighted. It is just such an amazing thing to be able to stand here with you and to launch this magazine, Us Taken Away Kids, which of course tells so many stories from such a personal perspective. So to all of you who've been involved in its production, congratulations. And if I can say at this my first speech with you, how much I look forward to working with you to make so many of your hopes come true. Thank you.